You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I convinced them I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice wants what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his sniper's knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party gonna hell out in the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, Marco. I want to put the big back into Bigfoot and do the Bigfoot boogie. I love that song. You know?
Yeah, I love it.
You know, it gets you moving. I'm sitting here in the chair, and I'm listening to my headset. I'm moving around, you know, the chairs move around the floor. It's like, every time I listen to that album, you know, we're going to remake that album. We were talking about that. We're going to get a newer, kind of younger version of a country singer take care of that for us. Remember, you know that about that, Marco?
Yeah. We were going to do that.
Yep.
So they're good songs. They're still good songs, as a matter of fact.
You know, I'm trying to think. I'm almost 30 years old. Wait a minute, 67? That's 30-something years old, that album. You know that?
I know. But the music is still good.
Yeah.
And guess what? There's nobody else that has Bigfoot music like we.
No, you're right. There isn't. You know, trying to remember the guy's name was Ramblin' Jack Marlboro from Texas who did that album for us back then. Oh,
Yeah. Yep. As a matter of fact, yep.
You know, folks, every week, you know, we talk Bigfoot. Let's talk the Bigfoot. You know, things are changing fast as it goes, as quick as it comes, it goes. And you know, we gather information. We make sure that, you know, we're going to vet our places that we go and see. And for the last 2 weeks, it has been dead. And then all of a sudden, boom, spring hits, and the phone calls start piling up. It's like, are you kidding me? You know, you're getting nervous. You're kind of wondering what's going to happen, where you're going to go. But it never ends. Mm-hmm. You know, out in Idaho with the woman and her, well, I don't know if you folks heard about this, but last Wednesday, was it Tuesday, the 23rd, a woman got in a wreck with a deer off of Highway 95 North, out right outside Potlatch, Idaho, where she claims that she was distracted by the Bigfoot chasing the deer behind her in the rearview mirror, and as she passed it, the deer jumped out in front of her, and she wrecked her car. So that was the first one. And then we've got a Youngstown, Ohio, just came in a couple days ago, where a couple was driving down the road, and they saw these strange, two big, large, hairy creatures off the freeway down in the ravine along the river, and they actually turned around to come back to see what it was, and they took a picture. Well, we've got that picture, so you'll be hearing about that real soon also. Oh, the back office stuff I forgot, Marco. This Sunday at 1:30 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we are going to be on Fox Business Channel with the TV show New to the Street, and we're going to be unveiling a giant surprise for all of our listeners and viewers on the Internet and Facebook. You're going to have to wait until then to see it, but it's going to be monumental. It's going to change, I think, how the Bigfoot community acts. What do you think, Marco?
I do, but what time zone is that, Tommy?
Sorry, that would be 1:30. Eastern and 10:30.
Got it.
Pacific.
You got it. I just wanted to make sure we tell everybody the right time to dial in.
It'll be the Fox Business Channel, FBC, HD, or regular, and it's from 1:30 to 2 o'clock.
Okay, that's Eastern time. On Central time, that's 12:30, and that it starts at 12:30. And the Pacific time, it starts at 10:30.
And 11:30 Mountain.
Oh, 11, yeah, and 11:30 Mountain, yes.
So, you know, folks, we got an action-packed show for you this evening. I think I'm going to start it off with Arkansas. You know, not Rocky.
Corey is on.
But Corey in Arkansas. Corey is out there, isn't he, Bill?
He sure is.
Hey, Corey, how are you this evening?
Doing good.
Could you talk into the mic and be a little louder for us, please?
For sure, man. You hear me
all
now?
All right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we actually met on Lax Expedition over the phone when we were at one point in time in Arkansas, and Corey had some very intriguing information about the creature. You know, Corey's down there in the area, I want to say about 100 miles west of Fayetteville is my guess. Is that correct, Corey?
It was in Ashland.
So east of Fayetteville, correct?
It was in Ash Flats, Arkansas.
Okay. Out near Ash Flats, Arkansas, correct. And, you know, you've had your own experiences with the creature, correct?
No, I never had my own experience. I just speaking out on the whole thing with Jake.
Well, you and Jake, correct?
Yep. Yes, so.
You know, and Jake, the stories, the encounters are so intriguing. I asked Corey on tonight because Jake is actually working, and Corey was going to kind of translate and convey to us, you know, about what was happening down there in the area. So if you like, Corey, if you could take the next 10 minutes and kind of let us know about where you guys are at and, you know, what's been going on with you and Jake up there in Arkansas.
Well, I know Jake for years now, and I used to walk on his gym over here, and me and him used to do a little of practicing of, you know, a little Muay Thai and stuff, but these type of guys don't really seem to be scared of anything, but something must kind of, you know, took it. He seemed pretty sure about the speech, and you see, there's one time that I was having a just out with a prophet in his own yard. And they're talking, and she doesn't live miles away from any other house. They just good area.
Uh-huh.
The thing is, though, something for a lot in profit. Well, it obviously, but the thing is, though, it's kind of far away. It's kind of hard for another person to go. So, so Jake has phone trying to go closer to the group, but they got a little too close to something. And it let out this strange sound. It sounded like something with an animal that have very deep lungs. Very big.
Right.
And they're standing there for just standing there, just don't they haven't moved up, they just don't notice that they didn't see it. Then the creature just started, well, it sounded like there's something running on 2 feet and making this making a lot of noise when it's running, but it covered a lot of ground.
Right.
But a little while later during the year, they heard something else. He told me that he was walking through the shed one day, but he noticed something that was supposed to be there, and it was very dark out there. And
Well, I was hoping you could relay the story about the creature and when he was looking into the bathroom and Jake's mother was in the bathroom. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, his, I think his older brother that he was talking about, he was a kind of big dude, but Jake told me that he was staying in the dead for quite a while. And he didn't know why it was there, but he tried to the well, when Ray cooked him, he's a big dude, and he didn't usually move that fast. And he told Jake to, like, not ever go outside at night again. So then, out there, Jake was doing this while he's creeping. And the thing is, though, when his fingers looked at him, but it never, but it acted like he didn't really care. It just walked off. I don't really have to kill him. He looked at him. And, but, you know, 10 feet. And the space count leaning in close to the window. It just kind of, you know, it's kind of slow. His blood did kind of catch on the first well. He was hunting one day close to the lake, and those creatures would not let him go through there. He just wanted to walk the other way.
Corey, we're losing you on the signal, so you're either going to have to call back in or we'll have to pick this up next week because we can't hear you. You're there.
Probably better we do it next week. Yeah, we have some bad thunderstorms. Probably in the field.
All right, Corey, I'd like to thank you for coming on and relaying the story for Jake, and hopefully we can get a better signal next week. If you like, you can just speak yourself out and listen into the rest of the show.
I can barely hear you as it is. Stop.
Well, you know, folks, I was hoping we could get a good conversation going with Corey, but the cell phone signal's not working very well, and Jake was working this evening, so I wanted to go ahead and try to get some of that out. But the encounters that are happening out there in Ash Flat, Arkansas, according to what Jake was telling me, happen in August and usually end around when the winter hits in. And what he believes is there's a creature or a family of them that are living in that area that are curious, and there might even be an alpha male, because the one that was standing in behind the house looking into the bathroom window had to be about 10 feet tall. He told me it was about 4 foot wide. Huge, huge creature. And he's had rock throwing. His mother has seen and heard him. His brother has seen and heard him. We're trying to work out a time where we can actually meet up with these folks down there and help them out. But I want to move on over to my good old buddy, Rocky D.
Yeah, TJ, somebody just dialed in. I got to find out who it is, okay?
Rob Youngblood. Rob Price. Mr. Youngblood.
Oh my God.
Oh, my God.
Rob.
Hey, guys.
You blew my mind.
Welcome back, buddy.
Yes, good to be back.
Youngblood is back, and he's in the saddle, and he's going to be on the road with us starting next week, guys.
Sweet.
He got back from Iraq here about 5 days ago. Is that about right, Youngblood?
That's about right. About 6 days, yeah. 5-6 days.
You know, Rob spent a lot of time on the road with my dad, and I spent a few expeditions with him, and, you know, he's part of the family. He's part of the team, but he had to go to Iraq for the last – have you been there for 4 years or 3 years, Rob?
Almost five.
Almost 5 years.
Almost
so,
five.
You know, he can't wait to get back out and actually have – I think he said, I'm tired of working and not having fun. I'm going to go to work and have some fun now. Absolutely. You know,
remember
but
the air conditioners,
all...
Rob?
Right. Oh, yeah.
So our team is complete. We are solid. So quit sending in the resumes, folks. I've got my five people, and that's it. Hey, send the resumes in anyways. I'll keep looking at them. We might have to have a second team here real soon since our big news is coming out Sunday. You know, but Rob, so how's it feel to be back, buddy? Tell us.
Man, it feels great to be back in the States. If nothing else, just for the food. I mean, eating in a mess hall gets old really quickly. Of course, I know you can. You know all about that too.
Oh yeah, but it's been a long time. I heard the food's actually really good now.
Not really, no. It depends on where you're at. Some of the bases it's good at, and some of them it's not so hot.
Yeah, well.
They buy that prison food where I was at.
Well, you know, Bigfoot's out there. He's waiting, and we're going to go get him, aren't we?
We sure are.
You know. So, what are you looking forward to most getting back on the road looking for Bigfoot? And then I'll let you go.
Well, mostly just, back meeting the people on the road again. I mean, that's what makes this so great is the community. I mean, you know, it's a group effort. Not no one person can do this by themselves. And we get out there and we have to make it happen.
You know,
that's probably the best thing.
Yep, he's been gone for 5 years, and he said he's repeating the same stuff I've been telling the people on the radio show now since I've had it now for about the last year. You see, it's the people, and we're all going to have to figure it out together, and it's going to take more than just one of us to do it. Absolutely. Brother, I was going to try to save you to the end, but Marco Will had to let the cat out of the bag. Poor Marco. So, thanks for coming on. Everybody, Rob Price. Youngblood is back in the house and on the team.
Yay!
Yay, Rob!
Hey, maybe let me. I'm being selfish. Does anybody have any questions for Rob?
I don't have any questions, but I sure am glad to hear that he's back.
I recognize that voice. That's Rocky.
I'm ready to go out there and stir him up.
Oh yeah, we're gonna do it now. We're gonna get out there and make it happen, and have a lot of fun in the process.
You stirred it up before. You got a lot of stirring you did already.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm just trying to get my feet back under me right now from the jet lag. That's a rough trip back from over there.
I imagine that is. Well, welcome back, Rob.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. It's great to be back.
God, it feels like you never even left.
Well, I'm still the same person.
I know.
Plus
a few
extra, you know, experiences that I've, you know, had to go through. But, you know, we made it through.
My gosh. Well, I'm looking forward to having you out there with TJ and the team. And it'll be fun, I'm sure.
Well, it's great to be back, and I'm glad to be working with some great people again.
Well, you're one of them.
Well, I appreciate that. That's really kind.
All right, buddy. I know you got a lot of stuff to do. I sent you over something to your email. Look at it. Don't show it to nobody. It's for your eyes only, okay?
Okay, no problem.
Check it out. If you want to stay on, listen to the rest of the show.
Cool. Probably will. Yeah, I'll be right here.
Okay. Then back to what I was talking about, folks. I've got the Rocky Slavin from Arkansas, from a little-known town up there in the northwest corner called Fayetteville. Now, folks, this gentleman, which you all know, if you've been listening to this show for any time, he's one of my co-hosts, and he has his own encounters that about once every year he shares. So if you haven't listened to every show, you probably haven't heard these encounters. So Rocky, I was hoping if you would honor us and let us hear the story that got you, your brother, and your father involved in Bigfoot.
Well, I can probably tell you the story. let's see, it was in 1994. Me and my dad, my brother, and another guy had we were out in the woods in Strickler, Arkansas, some land that my brother owned, and we were I'm not gonna go into what we were doing out there, but you know it was something just a little bit south of legal. But
don't worry about it.
No drugs or nothing like that. It's just, back in the day when I was still doing bodybuilding contests, and me and my brother, dad, the other guy, we were out there in the woods, and we just got done eating, had a little fire going, we just got done eating. And the stuff that they brought to eat was just not on my menu at all. And, it was going through me pretty quick. So I told the boys that, you know, I'd be back in a minute. I had to go out to the woods and relieve myself. So I went out in the woods and fighting a cheap flashlight, trying to get it to burn. I got out there and was fixed to unbuckle my britches, and I saw it was kind of like a dark shadow moving in shadows that weren't quite so dark. It was night. It was dark that night. It was that we were in the woods, pretty deep in the woods. But I saw movement, and I finally got my flashlight turned on, and well, we have bears out there, and that was my concern. But what I saw wasn't a bear. It was just, I mean, I saw a flash of a face, and then I pulled my old hog leg pistol out and went to work, and I fired three shots, and the thing slammed into me. And when it slammed into me, it made me drop my gun. It was, I felt like it was about to break my ribs. It grabbed me and was bear hugging me. But I had an arm loose, and I grabbed an old K-bar hunt knife, and, well, I went back to work. I started sticking and gouging, and convinced it that it didn't really want to hang on any longer, and it threw me down the hill. And the next thing I knew, my dad, my brother, and the other guy was all standing over me. I had blood all over me. And I was scared. I was really scared. Anyhow, it didn't take me but just a second to get back up by the campfire. And it's kind of funny when you think about it, how a campfire gives you a very false sense of security, but it did. And I was the first one back. I was the first one to fire. Well, they got up there, and, of course, they thought that, you know, something had tore me all up because, like I say, I was covered in blood. And anyhow.
They must have been scared.
They were. The first thing they thought, you know, when they found me, I was down at the bottom of the hill when they found me. I was at the top when me and the thing collided. But anyhow, they thought a bear or something had laid into me. But when everybody was there at the fire, you know, I told them, said, "No, it's. I don't think I'm hurt, other than just kind of beat up." But anyhow, we decided the guy that was with us. He was screaming like a little girl, and he was more freaked out than I was, if that's possible. But anyhow, we loaded up, got out of there, got back over to my brother's house, and washed me off some. And the only blood that was mine was just. My nose was bleeding a little bit, and there's a couple of little scratches and stuff. But we got the other guy. We sent him home, and we went out the next morning. And it was just getting daylight, and we went where they found my gun laying, and there's blood all over the rocks. And my brother is an extreme tracker. I mean, he's the one that can track apart through the whirlwind. But we tracked it up there. We found blood trails. We found where the grass had been stomped down. We went about a quarter of a mile up the hill. And when I say up the hill, it was almost a bluff. But we got up to the top, and right at the edge of the field, we thought, well, when my brother and my dad saw it, I told them that it wasn't a bear. I kept explaining that it wasn't a bear. But when they first saw it laying there, they thought that it was probably a little black bear until we got up there. And it had... simian type facial features. It had its feet were really odd because they weren't like, you know, chimpanzee feet, but they weren't like man feet either. She had the big toe was long and almost thumb-like, and I don't know, it was I say simian, it was humanoid looking. Anyhow, mm-hmm. It wasn't great big. It may have been a couple of inches taller than me, but it was a female. Anyhow, we didn't know what to do because, you know, we couldn't call the law or the game warden or anything like that because, well, the last thing we wanted out there was the law. So we took her, we drug her down to the, back to the campsite, which was not that hard since it was all downhill and she rolled a lot of the way. But we got her back and my brother went and fired up the little caterpillar and started pushing up the brush pile. Well, he had a brush pile. They're a small brush pile burning all the time in order to mask any incriminating odors. But we had a large hot brush fire all that day and way into the night, and I finally left out. And my brother said that when it was all said and done, I wouldn't be able to even recognize the place because all the bulldozer work and all the brush that he burned.
Right.
And anyhow, of course, the one guy that was with us that night, you know, it was one of those things. We made a deal. Everybody just swore that they wasn't gonna tell the story. And so about 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from the Society for the Study of Human and Aerial Phenomenon wanting to interview me about it. And, of course, I told them flat out that, no, I don't know what they was talking about. And so I called him, the guy that was with us, and I gave him a cuss and told him, you know, that wasn't the deal we made. And anyhow, he said, well, these people ain't going to tell nothing. I said, that's because I'm not going to talk to them. Well, of course, there's a book out there that the woman from Shape wrote that has the story in it. Doesn't have our names, but I mean, it's pretty obvious. Anybody that knows. So, I don't know, I guess it was about a year after that. We got a phone call from Unsolved Mysteries, and shut them down real quick. And then it was sometime after that, got a phone call from Monster Quest, and I told them that I didn't know what they was talking about. And then sometime after that, I got a phone call from a guy called Tom Biscardi with Searching for Bigfoot Incorporated. And he said, I'm here in your town. And he said, I was wondering if we could get your story. And I don't know. I said, well, what do you know? Anyhow, he told me pretty much, you know, what had happened, the short version. Mm-hmm. And said he wanted to come and interview me, and so him and Rob Bryce came to my place of business, and I sit there with them, and I told them the short version. And Tom, after they left, he called me back and asked if I would do the webcast the next night. And I've been doing it ever since. I mean, been listening in anyhow. But you know, as far as that goes, that's what got. It took Tom four or five trips down here to talk to me before I finally just laid it all out. But then, you know, that was, that all happened in 94, but then in 96, me and my dad was down in Strickler, and there was a place just maybe a mile from where that took place called C4. It's the Southeast Fast Oxide
Reactor.
I don't remember. Reactor, yeah. Anyhow, it's called C4. It was a old nuclear facility. Well, we had heard tales about big creatures, big animals. I mean, deers and stuff like that. And so, Dad, me and him was out, and we was excited that we was going to snipe us a deer that night. Yeah, and we were still doing something illegal, but that was a long time ago. statute of limitations has run out on poaching, I think. But anyhow, we went down to C4, and well, we got out and parked my truck, and we walked back up the little lane, crossed over the road, and went into the nuclear facility, into their little compound. Well, it's supposed to have been shut down years earlier, if not a decade or two. I'm not sure the dates on that part of it, but anyhow, Dad shot a coon. Well, or as Richard from New York said, a raccoon, but Dad shot a coon, and it was absolutely the biggest coon I've ever seen in my life before or since. And, well, you know, we grew up eating coon and dressing, and that one was going to make a big one. And so we was on our way back to the truck. We was going to get out of there before, you know, well, before the game warden come around or anything. And just as we was getting to our truck, there was a white van come blasting down down that little old lane, and no headlights until it got right to us. And then the headlights came on, the doors flew open, and men with M16s jumped out and put us on the ground and handcuffed our hands behind our back and loaded us up in the van. We was trying to talk to them, trying to get them to let us know what the big problem was, but they were pretty closed mouth. They threw us in the van, drove us around for probably, seemed like 45 minutes. And anyhow, they came to a stop, and we heard what sounded like a garage door opening. And then they pulled forward and stopped again, and we heard it close. And then they got us out of the van that had no windows or anything, just had two guys in the back with us with guns and bad attitudes. And they took us. When they took us out, we were inside a large garage. And they took us through into this big long hallway that had, I don't know, four or five doors. They took us to the south end and put us in the room. There's a mattress in there. So, you know, we knew that we were probably not in a good situation.
Yeah.
Sometime after that, they came in and they got my dad and took him out of there. And he came back. They brought him back sometime later. And it was pretty obvious that he got his butt whooped some. And before I had a chance to say anything, they had gathered me up and took me off to another room and set me down in a metal chair and handcuffed my hands back behind the back of the seat. And they started questioning me about, you know, who was I, why was I there, who did I work for? And I told them who I was. Well, told them that I worked for my brother. I was a carpenter, and that we was there filling the stew pot. Told them we come there to kill a critter. And, you know.
They believe that?
They didn't seem to believe that at all, because they whooped my butt some. Every time I try to explain that, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm a carpenter. You know, that's what I am. Who I am, well, I ain't really anybody. And so we were poaching. The end. But they didn't believe me. Anyhow, they I wasn't sure until I got until they finally cut us loose. I wasn't sure how long we'd been there, but they
get out of you.
Go ahead. Do what?
What were they trying to get out of you? I mean, after, you know, all this time you've been thinking about it, you ever thought to yourself what they were trying to ask you, how you were supposed to answer?
Well, yeah, about the first time I got punched in the gut, I was wondering what I needed to tell them to make them quit that. But I didn't know what they wanted to know other than, I mean, I'd already told them everything that I knew. I told them everything they asked me. Who did I work for? Who was I? What do I do? And anyhow, that went on for a while, and they fed us cold McDonald's hamburgers. And anyhow, of course, I had to be a smartass and told them if they're going to feed us that kind of stuff, they needed to get me a Big Mac. And so Dad got two more cheeseburgers, and I didn't get nothing. But anyhow, it was to the point that, you know, I guess they realized that we just didn't have anything to tell them. And that last little go-around, the old square-headed boy, I told him that he hit like a little girl, and he showed me that he didn't hit like a little girl, knocked two of my damn teeth out. And anyhow, there was just not long after that, they come in the room where me and Dad was. I mean, me and Dad talked about it, but, you know, we didn't know, neither one of us knew what was going on. We thought that was a hell of a way to treat a man for shooting a coon. But anyhow, they came in and they handcuffed us, put us back in the van, and did kind of a reversal of the first little bit. But the big square-headed guy, when I say square-headed guy, he had a very government haircut. And he was a big boy. Anyhow, he told us on the way back to the truck. Of course, we didn't know where we was going. We was thinking, you know, said, well, now here's where they take us out in the woods, and, you know,
never seen again.
Put us in a hole. But he explained to us that everything that took place, we had best just forget about it. That telling the story would probably come back on us in a bad way. And until Tom called me that day, I hadn't ever told anybody about it. When we got back to my truck was still in the same place, but apparently they had got it out of there, because when we got back to it, it was facing the opposite direction. And then handcuffs came off, and they got out of there. And I guarantee you, as soon as we hit the road, I got out of there. That old Ford truck had never gone that fast before. But anyhow, when I got home, my wife, of course, you know, there's no such thing as cell phones back then, as far as I know. But there wasn't in my part of the world. But then, you know, I haven't had a cell phone that long anyhow. But anyhow, when I got back home, my wife asked me, and I mean, she was used to me going hunting and staying gone for a few days. But anyhow, when I come back, it was pretty obvious to her that I'd not had an enjoyable time. And, you know, the story she got was, you know, yeah, I said, one of those things, you know, you go out in the woods and, you know, you fall and you hit things and all that. And she accepted that, but we've been gone for
how many days you were actually in that little cell?
We were gone for 5 days.
Wow.
And, well, like I say, I lost 2 teeth over it. And Dad, you know, at his age, he didn't bounce back like he used to. But I have to give him his propers. I mean, he bounced back for pretty dang good for a man his age. But anyhow, of course, you know, my brother, he told me that, you know, he was mad at me because I took Dad out there, and I told him, said, well, it's Dad's idea. And he said, well, you know, you didn't have to do it because he said it. And I said, if I hadn't, he'd gone by himself. So anyhow.
Yeah.
Since then, your dad called me one day, and we did a conference call with some kind of politician out of Illinois.
Senator.
And what?
It was a senator.
Okay. Anyhow, he asked me about it, and so, you know, he said that he was looking at Google Earth, which I had no idea what that was. But anyhow,
right.
he told me, he said, I'm looking at C4 right now, and said that there was a back road. Looked like a back road going there. And, of course, you know, I had been past C4, but I'd never been inside the gate. I mean, inside the fence. Well, since then, after the senator, he said that he was reading up on it and said that they tried to get funding to do a cleanup on the place years ago, but they were turned down. Well, when did they turn down the funds to clean up a nuclear facility?
Right.
Anyhow, shortly after that, my buddy the Swede called me and he said, are you watching TV? And I told him, said, no. He said, well, turn it to Channel 5. And I turned it over there. And it was, they had the roads in both directions closed off going to C4 because there was some kind of a paper fire. Okay, if you have a fire, you know, and it's paper, you get in the fire extinguisher and put it out. You don't have a whole bunch of black Suburbans closing the roads off. I didn't see a fire truck.
Well, come to find out, they'd stopped the fire truck about a quarter of a mile back from where the roadblocks were and wouldn't let them go in.
Hmm.
Now then, they've done a complete cleanup of C4, and they actually had people, they gave people a, you know, let them come in and look the place over and all that. I did not go.
Yeah.
But, I've seen enough of it.
Well,
but
sure.
Anyhow, the, you know, the, after they turned us loose, everything was, you know, pretty quiet until after I talked, well, after I did the webcast, and your dad and some others was out here, and well, there was people, suspicious looking people sitting around out front of my house. Nobody said anything or did anything, but when they saw me come out the back gate with a shooter, everybody took off real quick. And I had some people threaten me at my business at one time, told me that, you know, the story ought to just leave it lay. And well, since then, like I say, C4 is a memory, and or that's what they're saying anyhow. I haven't been out by there in years. Probably won't be. But anyhow, you know, there's when your dad was down here, he was asking me if he was saying that it was a shame I didn't have any kind of DNA from the night that thing grabbed me out in the woods. And of course, you know, I'm just an old Arkansas boy. I don't think CSI had come on yet. I didn't really understand the DNA thing. And I said, like what? And he said, blood, hair. And so I gave him some hair. And the hair, he asked me where I got it. And I said, about 6 inches up above that thing's butt hole when we threw it on the fire. And so he had that analyzed. And it was pan troglodyte, which pretty much covers the entire chimpanzee family. And when he said chimpanzee, I thought he might be kind of shining me on a little bit, and I didn't know if I was supposed to be mad or what. And I told him, yeah, I said, you know, Strickland, Arkansas is known for its big chimpanzee population. And he said, no, he said, don't get mad. He said, there's something else there that's not right. And anyhow, it was, I can't say that it was a Bigfoot, because before that, I'd never seen anything like that before. I'd seen the Gimlin, what's his name, film. And
yeah.
It didn't look like that. I mean, it did in that it was hairy all over. Like I say, it wasn't all that big. It didn't actually have that, you know, like great big feet or anything. So, but it was definitely something that wasn't native to Arkansas. And, you know, I can't remember what they said that it was, some kind of ape. But, you know, we don't have wild apes in Arkansas. We have some wild people that are pretty ape-like, but, you know, a whole different thing. That thing wasn't at the White Star Tavern, so.
Wow.
You know, Dad said it was, he said, you got to look at it like this, son. Said it was an adventure. I told him I didn't think I wanted to have any more of those kind. But
anyhow, the adventure continues.
Yeah, that's how it all came about, and that's how I got with Tom, and that's how I come on still running with y'all, because, well, Tom's the only, the first one I told. I didn't even tell my buddy the Swede, and that really, he got kind of mad at me over that. But he was there when I told Tom the whole story. And then he kind of chewed me out a little bit afterwards, and I told him, you know, some things you just not real quick to tell anybody. And, you know, Tom didn't say I was crazy. And so, and there well, it is.
There it is. That's the
there
story.
There it is.
People have been asking
you know,
about
I've met some good people since then.
Yes, you have. We have met some great people, including yourself.
Well, I'm talking about y'all.
Oh, well, thank you, sir.
And we met you also, Rocky.
Yeah.
Marshall, Bill, what episode is this show?
All of y'all. All of y'all.
Marco?
Yes.
What episode number is this show?
This is 461.
461. What is that, 12 years, 15 years now?
Yes, it's right in there. Long time.
You know, folks, you've been asking for Rocky's story. There it is, from the start to the beginning. And it is one of the most fascinating stories I've ever heard. Now, before we're going to go extra, we're going to go a little longer because I know I got people on my in our quorum. My new word, Marco Bill. Our quorum.
We can go as long as you want to go.
You know, hey D, how are you out there, Roy? Everybody still on? Questions for Rocky?
Oh yeah, I was just fascinated.
Yeah, it was an awesome story. I enjoyed it.
I didn't. I hope there's no chapter two on that part of it.
Oh, there won't be, brother. You know it. So let's start with just from everybody talking over one another. Dee, do you have any questions for Rocky?
No, sir. I mean, like I said, I was just listening enthralled with the whole ordeal. Sorry you have to go through that. And you know, since I've started this, I've heard a lot of people, you know, tell me their encounters and their ordeals and whatnot. But that right there, there's no second, there's no follow-up to that. You know, it's amazing. And God bless for getting through that. And I mean, I'd probably have to lock myself into the asylum or something, eat some pudding in my pajamas.
Well, Tommy knows that I do have my moments when the lights are out and I'm asleep and that.
Oh, I'll finish your sentence. You don't want to wake Rocky up when he's talking to himself in the woods.
For sure, I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, you just don't want to, because he's gonna go about fighting you. Roy, do you have any questions for Rocky?
No, I sure don't. I'm just glad he went and made it through it. And I think about that myself sometimes. I'll be out there in the woods by myself and the hair standing up on your neck and not knowing what might be out there. I just hope that I have the strength to make it through it like he does if I run across something like that when I'm by myself out there.
Well, you know, I always carry a gun.
Yeah. Rocky, they classified that chimp as a billy ape.
Billy ape.
And it's called a lion killer in the Congo. And it was only seen once, I think, in 1925. And that's deep in the Congo. And they kill lions. They're not a normal chimp. They're pretty big. About 6 foot, I think, right?
Yeah, that one was probably maybe 6 foot.
Yeah.
Hey, but it was a female. It was a female.
Man, well, it don't make any difference. Pretty strong.
I tell you, as far as the strong part of it, yeah, it was incredibly strong. And but it never made the sign.
Well, you got to know, I listened to your story here several times in the last couple of weeks on the old show when you were on here, James.
Oh, and, James.
Yeah, and I listened to it a few times. It's really, every time I listen to it, it's unbelievable. I just, God, how you got through all that, I don't know. So,
well,
and your dad.
Old friggin' coot, man. That's how he got through it. You guys need to meet this man. Trust you me. At his age, I still don't want to mess with him. Then you got to meet his brother. He's somebody you wouldn't even want to talk to.
That's true. Yeah, my brother talked to your dad one time, and I think your dad was glad that ordeal was over because I don't think he was very nice.
Well, if you're a Swede, your best friend, the Swede, is not no small guy either.
No, he definitely is not.
Wow.
Well, by golly.
It's that time again. But before we hit off, I want to make sure everybody knows this Sunday on the Fox Business Channel, on the show New to the Street at 1:30 to 2 o'clock Eastern time. That's New York time, folks. That'd be 10:30 California time. You get to see the team on there and, you know, our debut with the SEC talk show host. God, I forgot his name. Ken Eberhoff. And we'll be on News 1:30. We're gonna bust something out to the world. The whole planet's going to hear about what we've got in store and what's new with Bigfoot. So don't forget, tune in. And, Rocky, I want to say thank you for coming on and sharing your story with us again. And Roy out there in Oklahoma, Texas. And D down in, well, you're in Texas also, D. So, guys, I appreciate you coming on. And we're getting ready to bust this out. And well, Mrs. Calabash, we'll see you wherever you are.
Good night, everybody. Good night, Rob.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Always a pleasure.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Be careful. God bless.
Thank you.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster Mason Mysteries.